today on Path of Grace.
Now, a lot of religious people get really worried about too much of an emphasis on grace because, oh man, if the focus is on grace, well, people who get into grace are going to do nothing to bless anyone. They're just going to sit there. But you know what I've seen? It's just the opposite. For those who I've seen and know who rest the most in the grace of God and who give all honor and glory to God for what we have been given through Christ, those who are most into and proclaim with all their heart the gospel of grace, they seem to work harder than anyone else I have ever seen to try and bless other people and to serve them with everything they have, because they understand the love of God in a very, very profound and deep way. Now, I've known a lot of religious people who work hard, but they're trying to gain salvation or gain favor from God, and it's a different heart and a different attitude that it's really hard to explain. But what I see in my friends who have been so steeped in the grace of God and have grown in the grace of God, they're opening up their homes for people. They're serving people. They're giving what they've got to help take care of people, not out of religious obligation or because they're being coerced, but because it's simply good. Today, as we continue our study of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we are going to take things up in chapter 2, verse 12. I'm reading from Young's Literal Translation as we begin, and here are the first two words from this verse in Young's. So that. That's it. Not so, S-E-W, like sewing with a needle and thread, but so, S-O, that. So that. Other translations use a word, therefore. In the original language, the word used is a connecting word. It connects what is to follow with what came just before it. A great thing to remember is whenever you come across the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it therefore? And it always connects with what came before it. So when you come across this phrase, so that or therefore, it lets you know that whatever is coming next, for sure, definitely, without a doubt, should only be read in light of whatever came before it. And if you don't take the context of whatever is to follow into account, you might miss the point completely. So the word therefore is super important. The words so that are super important. Or so then, which is another way this word has been translated. So as we come to this word, Paul is saying, in light of all that I've already written to you, in light of what we've just talked about, with all of that as the backdrop or the foundation, now listen to what I have to say. So I've got to say this before we move on. My friend, if you've missed the earlier 8 or 9 studies that we've done in Philippians, now might be a good time to stop this audio from playing and to take some time to listen to those earlier audios before moving forward, because we've come to this so that or therefore phrase. So go ahead and do that. If you have listened to those previous audios, well, let's just keep on going. Here's verse 12 in its entirety. So that, my beloved, as ye always obey, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, with fear and trembling your own salvation, work out. Now, the way this verse is worded in some translations, it makes it sound like Paul is telling his readers to work for salvation or to work in order to gain salvation. And even here in Young's Literal, if you simply lifted this verse out of the context of this letter and didn't weigh it in light of what Paul shares with us in his other letters as he talks about salvation and the work of Christ, you might get the idea that he is telling his readers that they are saved by their own efforts, that you and I are saved by our own works, that somehow by our own work we will be able to conquer and overcome death, which entered into humanity and this world through Adam. But in light of what Paul teaches throughout his letters about salvation, for instance, in his letter to the Romans or in his letter to the Galatians, both of which we've studied all the way through together, and all of those audios can be found on the main page of this website, jamesflanders.com. When you look at what Paul has written, when you look at the evangel, the gospel, the good news given to Paul by Christ to share with the Gentiles, he makes it very, very clear that no one is saved from death, no one is saved from those wages of sin through their own works. My friend, Paul teaches us we are saved by the work of Christ. We are redeemed by Christ. We are justified through Christ and what he has done. Christ is in the business of justifying the ungodly, Scripture tells us. The Bible refers to Christ as the Savior. It doesn't refer to you and me as saviors. He is the Savior because he is the one who does the saving. He is called the Redeemer because he has redeemed us. He is the Justifier because he justifies. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We aren't our own Redeemers. We aren't our own Saviors. We aren't our own Justifiers. We definitely cannot take away the sin of the world or our own sin. Paul tells us we are saved by grace and not of works. You can read Ephesians chapter 2 for homework. A lot of people can quote Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 where it talks about being saved by grace through faith, and that's not something we work up ourselves. It's the gift of God, the approach present of God, not of works that we can boast about. Yet at the same time, that passage doesn't stop there. Do you remember what Paul says in the next verse in that passage? Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. We're going to do one more verse that oftentimes people neglect to quote, and a lot of people have never even read. This is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, the famous passage about being saved by grace through faith and not of works. But listen to where this passage goes. Here's how it's worded in the Concordant Literal New Testament. For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is God's approach present. Not simply a gift, but his approach present. We'll talk about that phrase maybe in a later study. It's an incredible phrase. For in grace through faith are you saved. This is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. For his achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. Wow. Verse 10 is pretty intense. We're saved by grace through faith, right? It's not something that comes out of us. It's God's approach present. It's not works that we boast about that saves us. But then in that next verse, in verse 10, listen to it again. For his achievement are we. Some translations say his workmanship are we. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand, that God has prepared beforehand, that we should be walking in them. Did you hear that? Again, we're not saved by our works. We aren't saved from death by our own effort. It's not because of anything we have done that we will be raised to life. Nope. It's a gift from God. Yet, at the same time, right now, this moment, today, in this age, those of us who are believers right now, Paul is telling us that the reason Father has revealed himself to you, caused you to believe and trust in Christ, is because he has something special for you to do. As part of the body of Christ right now, you aren't saved by your works, but you have been saved, set aside, called, appointed for good works. Listen to verse 10 again from the Concordant Literal New Testament. For his achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. My friend, this salvation that Father has given you, this salvation that is yours right now, this moment, what he has done in you through Christ Jesus, it's something that he intends to pour out of you. You are a vessel. He is pouring something into you to be poured out of you. He has prepared good works for you to do right here, right now, today. And he has prepared those things in advance for you, for me, to be walking in. It says that we should be walking in them. We should. Now, why should we be walking in good works? That's a silly question. We walk in good works, or we seek to walk in good works the best that we can, because good works are good. Why wouldn't we want to do good? Why wouldn't we want others to do good to us? Why wouldn't we want to focus on good? See, as one who has come to know the truth of the love of God and his heart for his creation, you have been called right here and right now, in this age, which Scripture refers to as this present evil age, full of heartaches and sadness, death and pain, he has called you and prepared things for you to do as an instrument in his hand of good works, because good works are good. and God is good. God has prepared beforehand good works that we should be walking in them, that we daily have the opportunity to walk in, that we have the blessing of walking in. Good works might cost us. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at Jesus. It cost him dearly. But God will bless you for it. He will reward you for it. And here's what's cool. Every day, no matter where we are, no matter how little ability or talent we think we have, there are good works for us to do. Some of them might be very, very practical, like mowing the lawn for an elderly person who can't do it for herself or himself. That's a great way to serve and glorify God. That's a good work. Praying for someone, that's a good work. Giving a word of encouragement, that is a good work. Have you ever noticed in your workplace how many discouraged people there are? Have you noticed in your workplace how the worldly attitude is so focused on constantly looking for ways to criticize this person and that person? Dog eat dog. Well, a good work might be looking for those things that are praiseworthy in that other person rather than just trying to point out flaws, which is what everyone seems to be trying to do. Try to lift them up a little. Focus on the good. You might see more of that come out of their life. Whatever it might be, there's all sorts of ways that we can do good works. In another one of his letters, Paul tells us that when it comes to ministering, there are diversities of gifts. There is a wide variety of ministries that Father has given us. He has given each of us talents and gifts and abilities that are intended to be put to use. And we could sit down and come up with a list of 100 or 200 different ways of doing good works and putting gifts to use. The gifts you have are different than the gifts I have. My gifts are different than other people within my family. But the thing is for us to realize is God has works prepared for you and for me today to be a blessing, to build up the people around us, to share with them the love of God. And it might even be someone on the other side of the planet that you can minister to. We're living in a time where we can communicate with people on the other side of the planet with an email or a phone call, and we can pray for him. For his achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, back in Philippians chapter 2, you remember that earlier in this chapter, Paul was talking to you and me about having the mind of Christ. He talked about Christ being a servant and taking care of others, Christ being obedient to do what Father had given him to do. And Paul says, let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. See, Father had prepared work for Christ to do. Christ did it. Father has prepared good works for you and me to do. And Paul's encouraging us to do those. Paul talked in this letter about not simply looking out for our own well-being, but looking out for the well-being of other people, making sure the people around us are taken care of. In other words, loving him. He says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And as you and I have been saturated with the good news of the love of God and the compassion of Christ, as we have been filled up with this truth of salvation, which we talked about a lot in our last study, we're to let that work in us, to work out of us, to affect, to bless those around us. I see verse 12 of Philippians 2 as being much like verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, which we just spent some time talking about. Again, here's Philippians 2 verse 12. So that my beloved, as ye always obey, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence with fear and trembling, your own salvation work out. Another way to put it might be this. In awe and reverence for who God is and what he has done for you, doesn't it kind of make you tremble with excitement and awe and reverence and just wow over who God is and his power and his love? In awe and reverence for God, who he is and what he's done in you, let what he has done work out of you, work it out of you to bless others. Then verse 13, for God it is who is working in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Did you hear that? It is God who is working in you. That's important. God works in you. God works in me. God is working in us to do work. It is God who is working in you both to will and to work. Think about that. God is working in you to work for his glory and to bless other people. And ultimately, although we are not saved by our works, Paul makes that so clear in his letters, I believe Father will reward you for them. Father will bless you for them. And here's some good news, my friend. Because I talk to people who, like me, look at their life history, and they see themselves as, well, along the way, making some very foolish decisions, being very, very weak, making horrible mistakes, really, in so many ways, perhaps making our lives seemingly amount to nothing, nobodies. Here's some encouraging words. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, and Paul, by the way, is someone who had been foolish, had been weak, had been base, who had been a totally misguided religious leader who was out destroying the lives of believers. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians, that in this age we're living in, God has chosen to work in and through the foolish, the weak, and the base. The foolish, the weak, and the base. The nobodies. You know what that means? I qualify. And so do you. It is God working in you both to will and to work. That desire to be a blessing that's stirring in you, the desire to want to lift others up and encourage them, that was placed within you by God. And the work, the tasks he has prepared, the gifts and the abilities, well, you're going to discover them as you step out with that willing heart. For it is God who's working in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. My friend, growing in the grace of God working in you will lead you to the place of working out of you to bless others. It's been a funny thing for me to see. You know, a lot of religious people get really worried about too much of an emphasis on grace because, oh man, if the focus is on grace, well, people who get into grace are going to do nothing to bless anyone. They're just going to sit there. But you know what? What I've seen is just the opposite. For those who I have seen and I know who rest the most in the grace of God and who give all honor and glory to God for what we have been given through Christ, those who are most into and proclaim with all their heart the gospel of grace, they seem to work harder than anyone else I have ever seen to try and bless other people and to serve them with everything they have because they understand the love of God in a very, very profound and deep way. Now, I've known a lot of religious people who work hard, but they're trying to gain salvation or gain favor from God. And it's a different heart and a different attitude that it's really hard to explain. But what I see in my friends who have been so steeped in the grace of God and have grown in the grace of God, they're opening up their homes for people. They're serving people. They're giving what they've got to help take care of people, not out of a religious obligation or because they're being coerced, but because it's simply good. And that's where we will wrap up today. When we get together next time, we'll be looking at some challenging words from Paul, our apostle, as we continue to move through Philippians chapter 2. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for listening. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.